What you believe and not what you see. We may be only human, there's another way to be. Don't need God to explain my morality. You can tell what's good and bad without resort to a deity. Made up stories to explain it. It's pretty cool, no matter how hard.
Welcome to the Gnostic Brothers Podcast. This is Jake.
This is Nick.
And welcome to...
This is Jimmy.
This is Jimmy.
We have a guest host today.
Yep, episode 17.
Episode 17, and welcome Jimmy.
Please.
Jimmy, he was a listener of the podcast, and we met him on Facebook. And I think we've mentioned you several times, I think.
Yeah.
Really good fodder for stuff on the podcast for Facebook. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy did feel the flame wars.
Yeah.
That have given us plenty of material.
Right. On our terrible Facebook.
On our terrible Facebook, but not just that one.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Others as well.
Yep. You're always posting all those really interesting notes on Facebook that I get a kick out of reading.
Yeah.
I try to create controversy sometimes, I guess.
Yeah. And Jimmy has a lot of fundamentalist friends on Facebook that used to be willing to jump right in there and start arguing. Yeah. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, they don't really get in there anymore, I noticed.
About 2 months worth of them. About two posts will wear out a fundamentalist. They don't want to worry, they don't come back anymore. So I keep adding new fundamentalists.
So, Jimmy, you just want to tell us a little something about yourself then?
Okay.
Well, your religious background, or...
Okay. I was a believer for probably 25 years, maybe 30 years, 28 years probably, and most of that I was a fundamentalist, so I was, you know, pretty close to Pentecostalism. I wholeheartedly believed it. I was out on the street, going door to door, things like that, trying to convert other people. And then, all of a sudden, you know, I decided to look at the Bible critically. And so I started studying it, and not to disprove anything, but just to try and confirm what I already believed. I really expected that when I started studying, looking for the truth, as I thought it was my project to find the truth.
Right.
I thought that I would find out that I was right. Yeah, my beliefs are right. And when I kind of took away I turned on the part of the mind that uses rationalism, you know, I became more critical.
Yeah.
And I started working on the Bible and trying to prove, okay, what about the flood? What about Noah? What about all these different things? And they really don't stand up to any kind of examination. And that kind of was the beginning of me deconverting. And then I had two children that were born too early, and they went to the intensive care for a couple of months. And just the things I saw there, you know, this is when I was a Christian. The things I kind of saw there, I kind of noticed that the outcomes of children, you know, especially children in NICU, weren't affected by prayer or belief or anybody's different religious beliefs. They seemed rather statistical.
Right.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of was everybody suffered the same. And the outcomes were basically the same. So even if you got prayed for, you still basically, you know, suffered just as bad. Or you got well statistically. You know, a certain number of children get well. Mm-hmm. And my kids came out just fine. And a lot of kids didn't, you know, but Christian or not Christian or not Muslim didn't make a difference. So that really started me questioning. And it kind of started my life questioning, too. So I started kind of the search for truth. I wanted to dig around and find the truth, really thinking that maybe I just misunderstood something about prayer and about miracles. And it was just me not understanding. So I started studying the Bible critically. And, you know, to make a long story short, it pretty much just fell apart right in front of me. And I just couldn't believe it anymore. So that was that. I became an unbeliever. Right. And probably 6 months later, you know, I've been an unbeliever for about a year and a half now. And about probably 8 months ago or 9 months ago, my wife also became an unbeliever.
Oh.
And so now we live in a, you know, kind of an atheist household. We don't, you know, all our relatives are still Pentecostals. They're still very much, you know, anytime something good happens, Jesus did. Anytime something bad happens, Satan's trying to attack him. You know, that mentality.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is just kind of weird.
That probably pretty awful.
We actually believe that way, too. Oh, man, you wouldn't believe. I mean, we had a birthday party yesterday, and a lot of our relatives showed up, and I got cornered by two separate groups of relatives, one from each side of the family.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, one of them was trying to they kind of know, I think. So when I started asking questions about, you heard they found Noah's Ark.
Oh.
You know, I was like, oh yeah, they found it like 40 times already, dude. Yeah, you know, I was like,
yeah, that was
every year.
That's something I wanted to talk about on a future episode. I've been just waiting to put together info about, yeah, all the times they found Noah's Ark and all this proof.
But I told them, I was like, well, you know, they also found, like, titanium bolts, yeah, with Noah's Ark. And they're like, oh, yeah? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, they found iron in a Bronze Age, right. Age vessel, right? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Sure. And so I told them, I was like, well, did you know that Egyptian culture and Chinese culture both kept right on going through a great flood that killed everybody on the earth? Yeah, it's kind of, and they just kind of looked at me like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Then they stopped talking about it. Well, yeah, then my mom corners me. And she's very Pentecostal, very, very Pentecostal. And she's, you know, sits down next to me, and she puts her arm on me, and she's almost crying, because she's very emotional. And she tells me, I've been thinking about what you said, Jimmy, because you haven't been talking about, you know, I don't believe this crap anymore. And she's really had a hard time with it, being a Pentecostal. You know, she said, I've been thinking about it, and I was like, and you know that I'm right, don't you? And she said, no, that's not what I know. She said, no. She goes, I think Jesus is in the ark. And she made up a bunch of reasons why, you know, they're all pretty vague. So, yeah. So that, now I'm an atheist. I was a very fundamentalist Christian. I really did believe, and for all the Christians out there that say you didn't really know Jesus, well, I think I'm proof of that. That's not true.
Right.
I really did. So... And now I really know that I was just confirmation biasing myself into belief like everybody else does.
Yeah, yeah.
So here I am, and everything's very clear to me now as far as belief goes. I understand where it comes from. I understand why people believe and why they hang on to it. And, you know, I just, for those few people out there that are looking, I'm the guy on the Facebook that's going to give them the data they need. That's why I do all that stuff.
Yeah, and you can tell by a lot of your posts that you're relatively new to the whole...
Yes,
you
know, yeah, it's kind of obvious that I'm more on brand new, because I'm still kind of angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you can see that.
Oh yeah, you find that you've been lied to for most of your life. Yeah, that's going to piss you off.
I mean, not just lied to by people. You know, I don't think people were just trying to deceive me. I don't really believe what they're saying. But lied to by the whole system. I lied to by myself.
But the good part is, you know, like you said yourself, you did some honest investigation, and you were honest with yourself when you found what you saw. I mean, that's awesome, and I think personally that's a great example to be setting for your kids and everything too. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, yeah. You know, my kids are just 4, so they were kind of spared from having to go through this.
Right.
No, they will not be exposed to this kind of, as much as I can control it. They will not be exposed to this type of, I don't want to say brainwashing, but that's what it is. You know, even you participate in washing your own brain.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why, in my opinion, I mean, if children are concerned, if you're going to teach your children, I mean, honestly, I want my kids to make their own decisions, but I'm going to wait till they're old enough to understand the decision they're making.
Right. Not be, you know, you have to tell a 10-year-old, if you don't make the right choice, you're going to burn hell forever. They don't understand that.
Well, I better believe then, or I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, what are they going to think? If they hear it over and over again every weekend, then, you know, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, and you ingrain that in their brain that young, and it's hard as hell to scrub out of there.
You can never get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a pretty good thing. Actually, me and my wife are both happier now as atheists. Our life is very good, you know.
Right.
We're not being punished in some way, you know, Satan's not attacking us, you know, like we predicted. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I've had lots of Christians wish bad things for me, which I found rather odd. You know, they want God to prove himself. Well, by doing some kind of damage to me, which is really weird.
Well, it's comforting.
Yeah, why don't you have God drop a car on me or something, or give me a new car? Yeah, that would.
Right. It's comforting too, because you understand that, you know, like, say, like a storm hits your house. You know, it's not because God or Satan's sending a message; it's because the storm just happened to hit your house. I mean,
right? Because wind is random and storms are random.
Exactly.
And tornadoes happen here in Oklahoma, and yeah, that's just what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's up to me.
Some people can't handle that. Some people need to have a reason for everything, and when they can't see it, they just make it up. Well, God did it.
I heard something on probably Rational Doubts, maybe. His name was Rational Doubts. Maybe it was Atheist Experience recently on the podcast. They said if you have a great cataclysmic event in the world, then somebody will come up with a great reason why it happened. You know, the bigger event, like a hurricane, then God's involved in it. You know, if it's a small event, like stubbing your toe, then maybe you're just stupid or something, but the bigger the event, the bigger the reason.
Satan moved the vacuum cleaner in the hallway.
Right. he wants to test you for this. He's going to cuss or something.
Yeah, I read something about that in a book once. There's a there's research to show that, yeah, the bigger the event is, the more significant the outcome is, that the more significant the cause must be, is people tend to have that mentality. And yeah, something big happens to lose your, to cause you to lose your home, it has to be, it just can't be a random tornado.
There's a reason. There has to be a reason for it. And, you know, it's kind of comforting to accept the fact that just random crap happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's not some being out there in a war with another being that you're kind of the, you know, the collateral damage from it.
Yeah, what did Phil Plait say? The fairness and unfairness is in everyone's demise. You know, yeah. we all have a level playing field, so, which I think is right. Comforting.
Yeah. And, kind of where the farming thing came from, though, that you got stuff done. I was involved in a church that was very kind of apocalyptic, you know, which a lot of fundamental churches are. They're waiting for Jesus to come through.
Right.
You know, Jesus is coming back through the sky at any minute now.
Well, yeah.
Happen.
You're gonna
take off him.
He was an apocalyptic prophet, so.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't the only one. There were many, many at the time. He's just the one that happened to take. You know, that one took. But, we're getting preached all the time that you got to be ready because, you know, Jesus is coming back any minute. You know, you don't want to be left here where everybody else disappears. And so we were thinking, man, the world's about to end, the tribulation's going to start, and, you know, the market, if you don't take the mark, you're going to starve, so you better have a farm. So, you know, and that's what we're being taught. So a lot of, you know, all of us guys in the church started thinking, hey, man, we better, like, get a cooperative going here, and we actually started talking about doing that. We didn't do it, but our thought works.
Start a farm. Yeah.
Let's build a farm.
Yeah, you know, why the Antichrist couldn't just destroy our farm, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny because I've got some relatives on my wife's side of the family who pretty much stock food for the same reason. Like, their pantry's loaded because...
Just waiting. Just waiting.
Just in case, and they'll be ready.
And let's not say something couldn't happen, that you might need food.
Right.
I don't really think it's going to be a religious war.
Yeah, it's not going to be, you know, the answer.
Jesus came back and took all the Christians out. And in reality, let's look at what happens if the Christians leave. Everybody suddenly cares about the environment. Everybody, you know, starts taking care of the homeless. Everybody starts spending money on churches.
Right.
And, you know, all the money is given away tax-free to churches now will be put into the welfare of other people, probably. So, I mean, anytime you get rid of a large number of people out of society usually is more successful. I mean, I hate to compare, but look at Nazi Germany. I mean, their economy was starting to get better when they started killing off all the Jews. Because they're taking all that money from them, they're stealing it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there's better ways to go about improving the economy, but...
Yeah, so, yeah, not expecting Jesus to come anytime soon, so...
All right, well, do you want to... We're doing pretty well on time. Do you want to go ahead and move into the news, then, or...
Okay, we'll talk about this real quick. I got a news story. This is kind of old news. Most of you listeners have probably heard about this because it came out a few weeks ago and it's fairly well publicized. I got this from Yahoo News. Atheist billboard defaced on NC's North Carolina's Billy Graham Parkway. Unknown vandals unhappy about the atheist billboard in Charlotte, North Carolina spray painted "Under God" on the ad. The City Atheist Association discovered Monday. So basically... Here's a picture of it. You can see it online.
Yeah, it's One Nation Indivisible, right?
Yeah, and somebody spray paints "Under God" underneath and draws a little line to where they feel it should be in the Pledge of Allegiance, because that's what historically our Pledge of Allegiance had, under God, you know, at least after 1954.
After 54.
That was a response to, like, the Russian threat.
Yeah, it was the whole McCarthy, godless communism... We're gonna make this a religious battle as well as a political one, because that always works out so well.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's horrible that, oh God, that's the way people have to take care of things. And the Charlotte Atheist and Agnostic spokesperson William Warren said, "It was done by one or two people off on their own who decided their only resource was vandalism rather than having a conversation." And he went on to say, "It does show how needed our message is. As atheists, we want to let people know that we exist and that there's a community out there." I guess the silver lining here is that their group has added 50 more members since the vandalism
occurred. Hey, there you go.
So, Or no, I'm sorry, 50 more members since the ad went up, not necessarily since the vandalism occurred, but maybe that would help too, I don't know, but it's just, and these are the people who are morally superior to us.
Yeah. Who are also, you know, also, they're the majority, so they need to get out there and make sure that they stay the majority, I suppose, right? I mean,
well, it's slowly trickling away their majority, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it is.
Well, very slowly.
Yeah, speaking, but yeah, these things are cyclical, though. I mean, it, you know, it's tipping towards the more non-believer side, but it'll probably swing back around, you know, 50 years from now, but.
Yeah, I mean.
We do what we can.
Historically, that's happened. We'll see. I guess time will tell. I think in society today, probably the best thing going for us as far as the religious aspect is that we tend to have a better working knowledge of the universe that we did before. I mean, a lot of people tend to be believers because they're falling into the God of the Gaps argument that,
right,
hey, you know, I don't know how to explain this, so God is. Well, now God's doing it. Well, now we know a lot more about the universe than we did before, and you can get away with saying, or you can't, I guess, get away with saying God explains all this stuff. I mean, there's still a few things about the universe that we'll never know, that people will probably be always fooling with God, but it seems like the more information we have about the universe, it seems to me anyway, that the less likely we're going to have more people swaying towards a religion.
Well, yeah, we'll never know everything, though. I mean, everything we learn just raises more questions, you know. Like, when we find missing parts of the fossil record, that just opens up two more gaps.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are, I guess I'm being a bit of a pessimist, but I think people are always going to believe. I don't think there's anything we can really do about it.
Well, yeah,
some group will always believe, yes.
The Kent Hovens in the world are never going to be persuaded to go sway to the other side. But it makes, you know what, though, the evangelists, the more we know about the world, the stupider these guys look when they start to try to say that, you know, when you got guys saying evolution's a religion or the evolution is false, and the more we find out about evolution, the more we find out about other mysteries of the universe, these crazy evangelists just look more crazy.
Right.
So, you know, shame to whoever it was that vandalized this stuff, who obviously is a believer, almost certainly is a Christian. I mean, I don't see how they can possibly... Is this the ends justify the means type situation? Well, this is going to bring more people to God, so even though it's a crime, and
right,
it's okay.
Sometimes, guess, you have to do the wrong thing for the right reasons, right? Yeah.
I guess you're not allowed to covet your neighbor's property, but you're sure as, you know, well, you're allowed to vandalize your neighbor's property. That must be
in the name of Jesus, you can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for Jesus, it's okay.
Yes.
Well, we have, do you have any other news stories, or is that the only one you had?
I've got one thing I'll talk about real quick.
Okay.
This is actually, I get this from Secular News Daily. Republican Virginia Rep. Randy Forbes, my favorite guy in the world, is proposing an In God We Trust resolution, which reaffirms In God We Trust as our national motto and urges the motto be publicly displayed in all public buildings, public schools, and other government institutions. You know, in other words, he's saying, F the First Amendment, we want In God We Trust everywhere. So, of course, you never believe who is on board with this, our old friends, the American Family Association. They come up again, and it's nice to see another group besides us making fun of these people. And I love, here's how their AFA action item alert starts. Currently, 73 bipartisan members of Congress have signed on as co-sponsors of Representative Forbes' resolution. If your representative is one of these 73, thank him today. Bipartisan members. Huh? I find the phrase bipartisan a little bit hard to swallow with this, but...
Right. It's probably one or two.
And here's a quote from David Noyes of the American Humanist Association, or I'm sorry, he's the president of the American Humanist Association. This AFA action alert is a smoking gun that shows the In God We Trust motto to be inherently religious with no real secular purpose. Which is a good point. I mean,
well, yeah.
it's kind of damning the origin to a certain certain part, because what he's saying is that if the AFA's backing it, so that tells you something. If you were to say nothing other than the AFA is backing it, so it's wrong, that would be damning the origin. But it also, it's something to consider that these guys are always pushing for religious stuff. And then you look at the argument itself that, you know, and as he said, here we have a fundamentalist Christian group leading the charge to place the motto everywhere, obviously to impose their particular religious views on everyone, including non-religious and humanist families.
Well, right. I mean, but seriously, did that even need to be said? I mean, of course it's in God we trust. Of course it's religious. So I don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, it's... What are these... It's just, God, these AFA people, they really cannot see two sides of an issue. They cannot see that there are some people out here who maybe don't trust in God, they don't want to trust in God, and that non-Christians have the same rights as Christians.
They do. They have the exact same right to worship God that they do.
It's such a novel concept. So the AHA, American Humanist Association, is recommending emplacement of In God We Trust. They want the E Pluribus Unum.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but Latin for out of many one.
Yeah, that's an excellent motto. Which, I mean,
it's inclusive. It includes everybody, regardless of your, you know, religious beliefs. And it's secular, which...
Right.
And there are Christians out there, too, that want to keep their government and their religion separate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from one many. That means from one. One from many, or however exactly what it
is. All for one and one for all.
Right. I mean, it's... And the many includes the Christians. You know, everybody. It's one country for everyone.
Yes.
Well, they don't really want a country for everyone. They want a country for Christians.
Yeah. Right. But they want everyone to be Christians.
Right.
Because Christianity is the right religion.
Right. It's the true religion.
Yeah.
Even though there's no evidence to support that.
Yeah. Even though there's many different forms of Christianity, all of which contradict each other.
Yes, I think the first of them are going to hell.
Right.
There's about 28,000 branches of Christianity, I believe.
Right, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we can move on to... There's a YouTube video I saw a few weeks ago. It's only about 2 minutes long. It's really short. It's called Atheist Double Standards. Or actually, it's called Atheist Double Standards Volume 1. But
yeah.
There was no Volume 2. I don't know. This guy uploaded plenty of...
There's so many Atheist Double Standards that it takes several volumes.
Yeah, but he never finished. I mean, this video is like 2 years old, I thought, right? Or I think it was 07, so 2 or 3 years old. So I think...
Yeah.
You know, I looked through all the guy's other videos, and there weren't any more. Maybe he...
Volume 1.
Yeah, maybe he didn't upload anymore. Maybe he did, but they were deleted. You know, you deleted them for some reason. I don't know. But I thought it was pretty funny, so I figured we could go over that.
Okay, so first we'll play the audio for it. So here it is.
Atheists commonly ask the following question. If God exists, why hasn't he shown himself to me? Because in their mind, if God exists, his existence would be obvious to everyone. Since they don't believe, God should appear to them to prove that he exists. But this kind of question reveals a gaping double standard that the questioner has. I have a friend whom we shall call Jane. She told her testimony during a church service one day. The story she told was intriguing, to say the least. She claims that on the night that she prayed to God and asked forgiveness for her sins, Jesus appeared to her physically. He said comforting words to her and stood by her bedside as she fell asleep. She even said that there was a really bright light in the room that didn't go away until she got into bed and went to sleep. If you're an atheist hearing this story, you have either done one of two things. One, you have dismissed it. Or two, you have believed it, in which case you're not an atheist. Most of you, I presume, will have dismissed it, and that's interesting, because it's only been a few seconds since you've heard the story. You've dismissed it immediately, either as a hallucination, as a lie, or as something else. Atheists like you demand that God show himself to you in order for you to believe, and yet you immediately reject out of hand the testimony of millions of theists who claim to experience God daily as a reality in their lives, and especially the ones who claim to have seen God physically. This leads me to conclude that even if God did appear to you, you still would not believe in him. You would first attribute it to a hallucination. Even if he appeared to a large number of people, you would still say it's a mass hallucination or mass hysteria. And that's because this sort of double standard is the result of a desire to get rid of God, rather than a commitment to rationality or a dedication to the evidence. Thank you for listening.
So that was... yeah, there you go.
Nice.
Is our, the double standard we have. Well, I was going to go through this, you know, point by point and refute all of it, but, you know, I don't know how you guys want to tackle it here.
Well, go for it.
Okay.
I got a couple notes on it, but...
Okay, well, I'll just start... you know, okay, it's atheists commonly ask the question, if God exists, why didn't he show himself to me, right? Because
yeah.
They're a guy, God's existence, his existence should be obvious to everyone, since they don't believe God should appear to prove he exists.
Yes.
Well, okay, my first problem was, this is a generalization, right? Not all atheists believe that, you know, if God exists, he should show himself. But
yeah,
that's just, you know, I'm guilty of the same generalization sometimes I say towards religious people, you know, I say Christians, when I don't mean all Christians, just a handful, so I'm willing to let that go. I just mentioned it to say the point.
My kind of thought on that portion of it was that that's just one of many questions that I personally have. I mean, yeah, that's a question I would have, but it's not the only question I have, and it's not the only reason why I don't believe in God.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Right. Good point. And then that little anecdote he tells his friend Gene, the testimony. But, okay, here's what he says, and this is where I... You know, after he gets done telling the story, he says, if you're an atheist listening to this story, you've either done one of two things. You have dismissed it or believed it, in which case you're not an atheist. And that's a... Well, first of all, it's a classic false dichotomy.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
There's a lot more than two responses you can have. And if you believed it, that doesn't mean you're an atheist. Right? If you believe she actually saw that, that doesn't mean you're an atheist. That means you understand that she... You know,
or you believe, or that you're not an atheist.
You believe that she believed she saw it.
Yeah. No. He said that if you believed it, then you're not an atheist.
Right.
And you said
it's not that simple. That's. But yeah, that's
just. She may just be hallucinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, lots of people do that.
And that was which, of course, he would probably turn around and say, "Well, then you don't believe it really happened." But my thought was that. I personally try not to immediately dismiss or accept anything that I hear. That, you know, you hear it and you say, okay, that's interesting. I may say that my viewpoint was I'm probably about 99% sure that never happened. But
as sure as
I
can.
Yeah, I mean that's a skeptical way of looking at things. You don't dismiss or accept anything. You think about it. You look for evidence.
Right. Yeah, and I consider myself a skeptic as well as an atheist, right? And any skeptic will tell you that personal testimony is useful for determining, you know, events that took place, right? Especially if they can be independently corroborated. But
yeah,
but this is called anecdotal evidence, and you know, because he says, you know, you like here's what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, you know, atheists demand that God shows himself to you, yet you reject testimony of millions of theists who experience God daily as a reality in their lives, right?
So that's a pretty big jump. Is he saying that this has happened to millions of people, or just his one friend?
I think that his story was like an extreme, right? People, you know, you can physically feel God in your heart, right?
Yeah.
You know, which I believe is, you know, more like a neurologic reaction to the stimuli,
well,
right?
Believers at most religions feel their God in their heart, and if that's true... then you have to give credence to every single religion out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can take your exact same argument and apply it to another religion and it doesn't convince you, then you can't expect it to convince other people.
Yeah.
Right? Like if a Muslim can say the exact same thing about Islam that you're saying.
Yeah,
about
they feel Allah in their heart.
Right.
Yeah, look at the Mormons. They use that as a test of the Mormon doctrine concept. And, you know, mainstream Christianity is convinced Mormons are going to go to hell. And what the Mormons use for their doctrine, they'll tell you, if someone tells you something that God told them, you go and pray about it, and you feel something called a burning in the bosom, which means basically you feel it in your spirit, you know, it convinces you that's right. Well, how do you argue against that?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that on Irreligiosophy.
Yeah, they talk about Mormonism a lot.
Right.
Mormonism a lot.
That's a great podcast. I love the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I would regard the testimony of a person who claims Elvis appeared in their bedroom with the same level of skepticism, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. If he said that, or if somebody told him, a story about their friend saw Muhammad show up in their bedroom, he would immediately dismiss it, I'm sure. Or say that the devil did it and made Muhammad show up to try to trick somebody.
Yeah, it's always the devil that did it.
Yeah, if it's not our religion, then the devil's doing it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and my biggest question about that that came into my mind was, okay, why didn't this happen to me?
Yeah.
I spent several years as a Christian praying and confessing sins. Not once has Jesus shown up and replaced my nightlight as a kid.
Right. And then that brings us to the next part of his video. You know, this leads me to conclude, I'm quoting here, that even if God did appear to you, you would still not believe in him.
Yeah.
Now, personally, this gave me pause for, you know, but only for a second, because, you know, how many natural processes have we, in the course of human history, understood, and then they lost their magical or divine properties, right?
Yeah.
You know, Native American spirits, they believe that spirits made the rain, right? Ancient Greeks pulled the sun across the sky. And some Christians today still believe God sends, or, you know, earthquakes or storms to places, right?
Especially if they have a TV show.
Yeah. Or they'll burn a church down, but he'll leave the cross there for some reason.
He likes the cross.
Yeah. So, you know, we have this mindset nowadays that tells us to investigate natural causes before supernatural ones, because we know that's where you're going to find more answers. You know, especially with the scientific process. You know,
Occam's razor.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, this isn't the cynicism the author's describing here. This is skepticism, pure and simple.
Yeah.
You know, and if a God were to exist, make itself known, we would have no choice but to examine it through the evidence of natural means, because that's the only way we can look at something scientifically.
Yeah, as a skeptic, man, if I saw somebody appear in my room at night and they told me they're God, my first conclusion is going to be that I need to go get help, probably.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe that God was there. I'm going to go get some psychiatric help, probably.
Yeah, first of all, I'd be like, hey, honey, wake up. Did you see that?
Yeah, exactly.
And if she's like, oh, yeah, I saw that, then, okay, wait a minute, that's something to, you know, that's a little different. But, yeah, she's like, what are you talking about? There's nothing there.
Yeah, go get psychiatric help. And if the you know, whoever you, the doctor or the psychiatrist, whoever says, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, well, then maybe you've got something there. But
yeah, that's not enough evidence to prove to someone else, though.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not to you, but anecdotal.
And that's also the big thing here. This is a personal revelation, so this is a revelation God gave to just one person that's not me, so why should I believe?
Right.
Why can't God reveal himself to everybody? And he's saying, well, God does reveal himself. Well, God revealed himself to one person in your story.
Yeah, Jesus showed up in her bedroom, not mine.
If God loves every one of us like your religion says he does, then why doesn't he show up in everybody's bedroom?
Yeah, he could totally make himself clear, a lot more clearly.
You've kind of exposed a scriptural problem now, because if you think about it, the Bible says God does not have preference for any individual. You know, they're all basically held at the same level. Well, why would Timothy have the right to see the holes in Christ's arms in his hands, yet I would not?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of an injustice there.
And why does he have a certain group of chosen people?
Right. When he respects every man the same. He respects no man, but he doesn't favor one man over another man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scripturally.
Right. Yeah, and you got to view it through the lens of faith to really, to come to come down to that side of the issue.
And he talks about this, and he's pointing out our double standard for being skeptical about this, or cynical, or however he wants to describe it. But he would have the same exact amount of skepticism towards any story that did not justify his preconceived beliefs. If it was a story about Allah, he would be real quick to dismiss it, like we said earlier. The only reason why he's so quick to accept this is because it justifies what he already believes.
Right.
It's an outrageous story, but it's
backing up belief.
It's backing up his faith, so he'll take it really quick, and anyone who does not immediately take this as being closed-minded.
Right.
And we're the ones with the double standard.
Well, yeah, and that brings us to the end, you know, like the last line of the video, you know, and I'm quoting here. And that's because this double standard is the result of a desire to get rid of God rather than a commitment to rationality or dedication to the evidence. Right? And we pretty much already described that, no, that's bull. Evidence is evidence.
That's preposterous. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and this is, and you're right. That's how you said it. It all comes down to the fact that, you know, this is his religion and it makes sense to him, and if we don't understand it, it can't be something he's doing wrong or something he's not understanding. It's got to be something on our end that we're doing wrong. Right? You know, we're sticking our heads in the sand and not believing. That's why. It's so obvious. Which, yeah, so everyone should believe it. But so, but that was about it. We'll put a link to the video up.
Yeah.
There are some responses to it there. I didn't look at any of them. Basically, I didn't have time. I just saw it and I started. I was laughing so hard, I pretty much just... That's as far as I got.
Yeah, that's and that's pretty ridiculous. That's not one of the better arguments. Oh, and no. even a lot of apologists, I'm sure, would not.
Oh, I know. We're
take this seriously.
You know, I think personally
we're playing wiffle ball here.
We are, but I think we're kind of staying on our level, you know, at least apologetically.
That's true.
Because I mean, yeah, we couldn't really go up against the likes of like William Lane Craig or something like that.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all.
So we're staying in our league basically.
Yeah,
swinging for the fences.
Yeah, this one was just ridiculous.
So, well, we're doing pretty well on time here. We're pretty short on time actually.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah, I personally don't like to bring it in over an hour like we have been. I like to
compact
a little bit, but this is working out great.
I say we'd be better off compacting it and getting more episodes out there.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, all right. More shorter.
Do you want to move on to some church science then?
I think it's Jimmy being here. Jimmy's keeping us. We're not going on getting sidetracked on our family stories.
I'm just boring.
No, that's awesome. Actually, it's keeping us more. You know, even hearing to our schedule, I suppose. So
yeah.
Okay, so moving into some church science.
Let's get some church science.
Okay, here's one. Commandments help us to love. I actually just saw that one today or yesterday. I don't remember.
Commandments help us to love.
Right. And this is what I said earlier. I mean, that sounds like battered wife syndrome to me. Right? I mean, no, he's being mean and telling me what to do because he loves me.
He's trying to teach you something.
I'm assuming they're referring to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
One set of the Ten Commandments. There's like two or three different sets of those.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, that's... I guess if you read the Ten Commandments, they don't appear to be all that violent, and I think it's later in the Bible that they start talking about torturing and killing people who disagree with things, but yeah, you know, don't cover your neighbor's wife, that's out of love. Don't have another God in front of us,
that's jealousy.
That's out of love.
That's jealousy. And yeah, do not, like adultery, what are you talking about? That's flying in the face of love. Right? I mean, saying some people not to have adultery, that's like saying don't love people, right?
Yeah. What if you just love sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess that all depends on your definition of adultery.
Right. Well,
because some people say adultery is sex outside of marriage, period. Right. You know, like two people, unmarried people having sex would be adultery. Some people say it's cheating on a spouse.
Right.
It's,
that's what I consider it is.
Yeah.
Fornication is any kind of sex outside of marriage, but adultery is if you're married and having sex with someone else.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, basically,
both are fine. Don't get me wrong.
It comes down to the whole mindset of, you know, what the sign trying to say is, you know, if you really want to love, you need to fit in this little box that we have. You know, you have to stay under this thumb.
Yeah.
If you're really, you know, to help you love, which...
That's like last episode's church sign, the slavery under God is true freedom.
Right, yeah, same vein. Actually, I think this is the same.
Captivity under God is true freedom, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the same sign that I got it from.
Same church.
It's a Lutheran church, I believe.
Yeah, they're just watered down Catholics.
Yeah, Catholic light, right?
They're not very fundamentalist.
Well, I went to a wedding at a Lutheran church here in Pekin, Illinois. This is a few weeks ago, and I was on their website, and they were talking about how, you know, on their website, they were talking about how they view evolution as false science, which I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't realize. Maybe it was just this church in particular.
I find it a little bit unfair. You know, I've heard the evolution argument before. I find it a little bit unfair that Satan's allowed to put out all these facts that look real, like evolution and cosmology.
Yeah.
And God's not allowed to interfere at all.
Right.
You know, with human life. He's basically, you have to, he only works through people.
Well, I thought God put the stuff there to test our faith, right? He put the fossils in the earth.
It's going to cause a lot of people to burn in hell.
No. The devil put the fossils there. God does not attempt to tempt us or confuse us.
That's right.
So did the devil put the light coming from the stars already?
No,
that far away.
The light that we see from stars that are more than 6,000 light years away from us, you mean?
Right, yeah.
It's already old light.
Yeah.
Tired light, or I think you've heard it called.
Yeah, the speed of light changes.
Right. The light shifted the light way ahead of time just to make it look that way.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice trick.
Yeah, he's just making it look like the universe is expanding. No, see, the devil does all that stuff because God would never do something. That'd be kind of mean to try to trick us, and that's... No, God doesn't do that.
Yeah, God never misleads people.
Remember, we don't blame things on God.
He loves people. He wants them to be saved. So he allows conflicting data.
Right. Especially in his own holy book.
Yeah, especially.
Okay. Alright, here's another one here. Let's see, where is it? Okay, free trip to heaven, details inside.
Oh, God.
And
free trip to heaven, so does that mean they're not going to ask for donations?
Yeah, bait and switch. It's free, you just, you know, have to believe everything we say, and you have to stop doing stuff you might enjoy, and you have to give us your money. Yeah, freedom, it's free.
So you have to voluntarily give it, so they're not, like, taking it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Potato, potato, maybe.
Right,
but.
Yeah.
You should go in there and ask, okay, just real quick, are we talking good works or love of Christ? It's one or the other. It's one do you guys believe.
Yeah, is it works or faith? Which is it? I like to know.
Which parts of the Bible are you referring to or are you emphasizing when you're coming up with this?
Right. Cool. Well, let's see.
Actually, we're doing good on time, so I'll add another church sign.
Okay, cool.
That I saw recently. They've had this one for a while, and I've driven by it several times. It says, need a new life? God accepts trade-ins.
Right.
So, and, yeah, you know, I mean,
this one actually bothers me a little bit, because this is one of the real problems with religion, in my opinion. It's, if somebody's having trouble with their life, or they're going through hard times, you know, that's when they're more susceptible to this sort of behavior, and that's when it gets to be kind of cult-like.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's targeted advertising.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, they're still going to have all the problems they have now. If you still have cancer, converting to Christianity is going to fix that, as much as some of the more nuttier Christians out there will try to tell you. We'll pray for you and you'll get better.
Well, also take 10% of your income, so it'll be even better.
Yeah. Well, God didn't heal you because you didn't donate enough to the church.
Or, no, he has a plan for you, that's why.
Yeah. Through suffering.
He didn't heal you because he has a plan.
Yeah, God wanted you to die because he has a plan, but it's because he loves you.
No, he doesn't. You didn't get cancer from God. Someone around you smoked at one point. It was their free will that gave you the cancer.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody screwed up and gave you cancer, or no, what happened was you got cancer because we no longer had the vapor canopy.
Oh, yeah.
The vapor canopy.
Oh, the vapor canopy.
But wait. God got rid of the vapor canopy. Well, he got rid of the vapor canopy because he had to flood the earth because of the sinners.
The people used their free will to be really bad and not like...
And so God had no choice but to use the vapor canopy to flood the earth, and now the rest of us who were descended from the one good family are going to be sick because we don't have the vapor canopy protecting us.
Right.
I never figure out why we're not all Jewish.
Yeah, where did all the black people come from?
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? That's actually... Come to think of it, that was, we were talking about the Mormons earlier, and they believe, right, that Cain was marked, and that's where black people came from, right?
Yeah.
But wouldn't...
Until, 1978, blacks weren't allowed to hold any leadership positions in a Mormon church.
Right.
Yeah, because they're descendants of Cain.
Wouldn't all the black people have died in the flood, though? That doesn't make any sense.
But,
Oh yeah, sorry.
God must not have flooded Africa.
Yeah, he didn't mind in Egypt either, or China.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, somebody actually told me that once, that I was arguing, it was something about the flood, and they're insisting that, and it was actually somebody telling me some of this crap about Noah's Ark being found, and I said, well, look, apart from finding an ark somewhere, there would be other evidence of the entire world being flooded.
Absolutely.
And this person goes on to say, well, there's some people that believe that it was translated incorrectly, and that that really what happened was God flooded a portion of the earth and not the entire earth. And my thought was, I'm like, are you sure you want to open the door on, or well, actually what I told her was, are you sure you want to open the door on wrong translations? Because that pretty much means that we can't trust any of the book. But then what I thought later was, well, that can't be right either because, and we've talked about this on the podcast, supposedly the rainbow is a sign of God's promise not to do this again. Well, if it was a local flood and not a global flood, he's done it a shitload of times since then. He's broken his promise. You know, you can't even count how many times we've had local floods all over the earth.
Right. Yeah.
Probably even an area where the local flood originally happened.
Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah. Well, you know, at least we finally got to a sidetrack. We almost got to the episode without doing one. That just wouldn't
45
be
45 minutes in, and we finally get to a little there. Yeah, I think that about does it then for this week. Is there anything else you had, Nick?
I don't think so. Jimmy?
No, really.
Oh, yeah. I actually wanted to mention, Jimmy, one of your latest posts, I was talking to you about this on Facebook earlier this week about, you said it was a friend of yours with his blog. Basically talking, he was, you know, it was like, what, a love letter from God is how he put it. And you're putting on there like, well, look at all the dead people, all the people who... You know, all the children that are being tortured and raped and everything, and guys...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's an ongoing kind of thing with this guy who has a blog where he puts something that was a love letter from God. I'm like, well, it's not very loving, you know, to allow you to suffer miserably and die. I read a lot of these blogs. I wanted to talk about this with someone. Where you get Christians, there's several of them I'm reading right now. You know, they have sick children, or, you know, they're... back in and out of the hospital because they're really, really ill. You know, they have cancer or they're dying or something. And they keep posting things like, oh, I know God has a plan for me. I just don't know what it is. He's trying to show me something, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's got a plan so we can be comfortable in knowing that he has a plan. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you better be comfortable in knowing that sometimes his plan includes you suffering a whole bunch. And then dying miserably.
Right.
That may be the plan, that you just suffer miserably and die. And you're abused after that.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating, especially with, you know, when with children get cancer and everything, is, you know, all it takes, you know, you can have hundreds of thousands of kids die every year of cancer, and all it takes is one who, you know, gets like a, you know, the cancer just suddenly goes into remission and the kid's fine.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Yeah. God loves everyone.
I think if cancer and, you know, the kid down the street got healed, I'm going to be pretty pissed off if we're both Christians.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty angry. And I kind of was in that situation, you know, when my kids were in the hospital.
Yeah, all these other kids.
Well,
that kid healed.
I saw kids die all the time. And what you see with the Christians, though, they would come back and say, well, you know, God wanted to make an angel out of him, or God wanted him in heaven. And I'm like, well, why did he tease you with him then?
Yeah.
Why would he...
Yeah,
he just wanted you here so you could, him here so you could suffer? That's just not really, really very nice.
God could have made this person in heaven originally.
Right.
Had not been a dick about it and...
dangle in front of you like a carrot and then snatch them away.
It's just a way to cope.
And so it is. And that's the one form of Christianity that I have a hard time going up against, because it does give some comfort to people.
Yeah.
But I still believe that overall religion is the negatives of it outweigh the positives as a whole. It's not to say that in some small piece of it is not good, because it does comfort people.
Right. Yeah, overall, and the net gain, or it's a net loss, basically, right?
Right. I think that's probably true.
It would be in real bad taste to argue with somebody. And I have a friend...
And I don't argue with people like that, because it is in bad taste.
Yeah, who's a friend whose, you know, son recently died. He was 11 years old, and... Yeah. And yeah, I've seen all sorts of stuff on Facebook from him and family members about, oh, he's in heaven now, and saying something, you know, contrary to that.
Yeah, he's in heaven. Oh, yeah. He's just dead. Yeah.
I'd be as big of a dick as God if I did that.
So it's only that we don't cross.
Yeah. And that's not...
I'm pretty controversial, and I don't even cross the line.
Right, yeah. There's some things you just don't be an asshole. I mean, you can be an asshole about a lot of things, but yeah.
Sure you can.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't go there.
It's often fun to be an asshole about a lot of things.
Indeed.
Right. So, yeah, I think that about does it. I think we're pretty good on time. I think we're under an hour, right? So we should be good.
Yeah, we're still under an hour.
We can do shorter episodes and release them more often.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for being here. Yeah.
Let's see. The website is agnosticbrotherspodcast.com.
Yeah, you can reach us by email at agnosticbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can friend us on Facebook.
Yep, you can join our Facebook group.
And you said you're working on getting the comment system up on the website, or is that still in the works?
That's still in the works. That's just something I need to figure out how to do.
Right.
So.
Actually, I think I need to update my personal info on the website, right?
You need to send me lots of info for the website, because it's been all my info.
Right.
Up until then. I know you probably have more links into the podcast to share that I need to update, and then your personal info as well, because there's not much on there.
Right. So, we'll get that updated, I think we should be... You know what? I'm going to say it. We'll go and try to record again in 2 weeks, get another one out.
Maybe.
Make it by...
Well, no, because 2 weeks from now, over the weekend, my wife and I are probably going to be going out of town.
You can just take your laptop with you.
Yeah, that would work, because I'm sure we spend our weekend away from everybody and our time to ourselves. She'll have no problem with me recording a podcast during that time.
Awesome.
Well, maybe we'll be... Actually, you know what? Because we'll have to be back by 5 on Sunday anyway, because, the kids will be getting back, so... Yeah, I mean...
Oh, we'll see. Maybe.
We'll see, but we'll definitely do our best to get one out soon.
Did you hear that?
Yep, heard it.
I don't know whose was that.
That was mine.
Because you both have kids. You know, my stepkids aren't home right now, or my son isn't home right now, so I know I hear a kid in the background. It's you could be either one of you guys.
Yep, it wasn't mine.
It's mine.
So, okay, I guess that about wraps it up for this week. For the Agnostic Brothers Podcast, this is Jake.
This is Nick.
This is Jimmy.
And remember to keep asking questions. Children into fools!